You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
And finally, on today's show, a new bill has been opened up for debate in Parliament, one which has flared opinions and emotions. If passed, it would see euthanasia legalised here in New Zealand. Producer Adam Jacobson investigates the arguments surrounding the debate.
A divisive question is being asked in Parliament. Will it be legally acceptable to voluntarily end one's own life? The End of Life Choice Bill is postulating this question. Pulled from the members' ballot box last Thursday, it will give people over the age of 18 and an irreversible physical or mental condition the option to choose medically assisted death. Bills similar to this one have been debated in Parliament twice before, with the first being defeated 61 to 29 votes in 1995 and again in 2005 by 60 to 58 votes. But the main difference now is the degree of public support, with a 2017 poll showing 66% of participants were in favour of law reform.
That's right, I'm David Seymour, leader of ACT New Zealand.
Seymour is the initial proponent of the bill, drafting it nearly 2 years ago. I spoke with him regarding the finer details of the bill.
So the end of life choice gives legal options to people who are at the end of their life and are suffering. It only applies to people who have either a terminal illness, something like cancer, or what we call irremediable condition with egregious suffering. And that could be something like Huntington's disease. And that's a condition where you're only going to get worse, and people actually want to take control and end their suffering while they can. You have to be examined by two doctors, and the bill sets up a special registry in the Ministry of Health to appoint the second doctor. So the first doctor can be a normal doctor, but then you get a second one picked at random, so there's no stitch-ups between a coterie of doctors who do this stuff. It's randomly selected. And then if you can show that you are of sound mind and that you understand the decisions that you're making and that you're not being pressured or coerced, then you will be given the option of a doctor either giving you the means or applying the means to end your life at a time of your choosing.
Seymour says one of the reasons for drafting the legislation is that he believes it's important for people to have a choice, as some may turn to unthinkable alternatives to end their suffering.
Some people commit violent amateur suicide, and we think that's about 8% of elderly suicides are people with terminal illnesses or egregious medical conditions. The other option is that people can refuse treatment. It's quite legal to refuse treatment, refuse food and water, starve yourself to death. Some people do that, and that is a horrible option as well.
By the selecting of the End of Life Choice Bill, it is resurfacing a long ongoing debate between those who are proponents and opponents of euthanasia as a practice, with strong opinions being held on both sides.
Philippa Malpass, and I am a senior lecturer in clinical medical ethics. So I'm a member of the End of Life Choice Society, which used to be called the Voluntary Euthanasia Society of New Zealand.
Malpass is a supporter of euthanasia reform, stating that the benefits of medically assisted death lay in giving people the option as to how they wish to pass on, but affirms that it is solely down to a person's choice whether or not to proceed.
You know, there'll be people for whom some degree of suffering, and I guess I mean by suffering, I don't just mean physical suffering, but other kinds of suffering, existential suffering, you know, spiritual suffering. For them, there might be some real benefits in suffering at the end of life. It might, you know, draw them closer to God or whatever. For a lot of people, though, suffering at the end of life is something that they're very fearful of and maybe have experienced it. And for them, actually, having a choice is really important. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, that's actually what it's about. You know, I think it's about having an informed choice, being able to make an informed choice, and then to have access to that kind of assistance from our medical profession.
Secretary of Care Alliance Matthew Jansen, on the other hand, is a vocal opponent to the bill.
The Care Alliance very strongly opposes the legalisation of euthanasia and assisted suicide.
I question him about why the Care Alliance has such strong opinions towards opposing the End of Life Choice Bill.
Because it's unnecessary and dangerous. It's unnecessary because palliative care very well contains pain, physical pain, as well as all of the social and spiritual dimensions of dying. So it's unnecessary, and it's dangerous because it puts at risk some of the most vulnerable people in our society.
Jansen reaffirms that palliative care should take priority, as it takes in a wider scope of the issue.
It puts the patient right at the centre of all of the care. It's not just medical, it's social and spiritual and economic care that is given to people. So they have more choices in palliative care than outside it, and they certainly have more choices than just that simple, brutal choice of death.
Immediate past chair of the New Zealand Medical Association, Dr. Stephen Child, gives a similar opinion upon reform.
We do not support the law change for euthanasia.
Child's primary concern revolves around the determination whether a patient is of sound mind, which is a primary acceptance factor in the end-of-life choice bill.
Now, that's not as black and white as it obviously occurs, in that many people, when they have terminal stages of cancer, are on medications that may affect their mentation, or can have metastasis to the brain that can affect their mentation, or can have a feeling of depression and hopelessness, which is temporary due to pain, that with good palliative care, when that pain resolves, they change their mind. A similar example in my career, for example, is many times I'm making assessments as to whether someone is capable of living on their own independently, or whether they need to go into a rest home. And that sometimes is a very, very difficult decision to make, whether they are competent to make the decision. If I get it wrong, though, when I've put them in a rest home, they can always come out of the rest home. That's not the case with voluntary euthanasia.
An additional concern of Child's is the extreme pressure which doctors will be placed under if voluntary euthanasia is to be legalised.
Let's say a 49-year-old man is diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he has, on average, 5 years to live. He gets treated for his prostate cancer, though, and it makes him impotent and it makes him incontinent. That makes him depressed. He loses his job. His marriage breaks up. Then one of his children is killed in a car accident. He gets very depressed and he comes and requests euthanasia. Life is unbearable suffering for him now, and he would like to end it. He repeatedly says that over 2 or 3 months. Should we give him euthanasia? Is that a rational request or is that an irrational request? And you, society, will be asking doctors to make that decision.
The debate surrounding the end-of-life choice bill is one of extreme importance. The fact of dying is a human one, and one which everyone will have to face at some point. Allowing for an open dialogue on such a bleak topic is crucial if we are to mature as a society. The end-of-life choice bill will be sent to a conscience vote on the next Members' Day, either immediately or post the election in September. Adam Jacobson, BFM News.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.